All right, cool. Welcome to the first episode of the Hold On Guys podcast.
Woo!
What's going on, guys?
Not too bad. Why don't we introduce ourselves?
My
name's John. I'm the short one. With short hair and no facial hair right now for the opera I'm in, which is not reflected on the image so far, but that will come
back. Oh, yes, we'll update the image for sure.
Oh, it's fine.
When did you cut the long hair off?
Last week for dress rehearsals. So,
and was it enough for the Locks of Love thing?
Yes.
Congrats.
And Great Clips just gave me the stuff to send it out, so it was very nice.
Do you get a tax write-off for that?
I don't know. How do you calculate what one's hair is worth?
Well, you need to get a grammage.
But hold on, guys. Why don't we introduce the rest of ourselves before I monopolize our time?
I mean, I guess we could. My name is Roy. This was not mostly my idea, but I do get to do all of the work.
Yeah, and don't worry, from there, I'm going to now easily transition. Segue, really.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dayton, and I am another tall person in this podcast.
Woo! Yes, well, we will fix the image to where someone is not just the tallest person.
No, it wasn't that. It was what I assumed was your two-sentence, whatever freaking self-description thing, being like the tallest of the group, and I was
I'm sorry, I will change that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I was so nitpicky about the height thing until I saw that, and I was like, motherfucker, we're the same height. Like, the fuck?
You didn't realize that you weren't nitpicky? Jesus.
Yep, now I do.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Yep. I'm glad we could figure this out on our session zero / episode one / whatever the frack this is.
Yeah, whatever this is supposed to be.
One more person?
Last person. I'm V, and I didn't mention about my height, but it was very funny that the race was thrown in for mine, and it just always made my dude have a different shoe color or something else that was different.
No.
By race, you mean the AI-generated image Roy tried to make our little icon?
All I did was type in Vietnamese, and it automatically made you the shortest person by far.
You saw me and John. Are me and John about the same height?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. You're probably a little taller than me, actually.
Something's telling me that Roy didn't give a very specific enough prompt for that stuff to
I made so many prompts.
Image.
Okay.
Because Roy doesn't want to actually go and talk
with
someone.
Hold on, guys, because I actually have an in-the-wild interaction I heard about AI consumption that floored me and makes me worried for the future.
Hell yeah.
I was sitting at a local place to me called Stew's, waiting on takeout food, and the people at a table behind me said, yeah, so like I was using this AI to try and help plan this event for like 40 people for the I won't insert a company name here, and it ended up taking me 4 hours just to go back and fix it because it had the wrong number of people assigned, and she goes through all of these problems that occurred. The very first thing that the next person sitting across from her says is, oh, well, what prompts did you use? And in my brain, I'm just like, wait, she's explaining to you how it actually took less time to just do it for herself and how she had professional growth by doing so. And it was like a learning experience. And you're like, but hold on, though. Did you feed it the right prompt?
I almost said, hold on, guys, but wait.
Gosh, it's starting to sound like the bad part of a Reddit post.
Yeah, for sure. So essentially, she was like AI explaining to the other person?
Yes. It was also a man, so that was a proper case of mansplaining. Well, and it was just incredible. It's like, hey guys, I trained this raccoon to do my work for me, and turns out that doesn't work. Oh yeah, well, raccoons, sure, but have you tried squirrels? No, the problem is the wildlife in that situation. I don't know. I'm call me a skeptic. Yes.
Yeah.
I would say so.
For sure. I am as well. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the more I talk with, I actually one time had a lunch specifically with this guy who did some LMM sort of stuff for Amazon, if I remember correctly. And I just kind of sat down. I was like, so got to talk to me straight about this stuff. Like, tell me what it's actually quote unquote thinking. And he was like, oh yeah, it's not thinking. These are not thoughts. These are like, and I was like, yeah, because the more we go into it, the more I was like, yeah, no, but it's cool. I think there's some great.
It's just borrowing images that it has in its database and like compiling stuff.
So
from that, right.
So now you're going to make me do an explanation on AI, motherfucker.
Yeah, I think a lot of things get called AI that are LLM specific.
Yeah.
So and a lot of times,
large language models.
Algorithms get thrown in too.
Honestly, it's statistics.
Yeah.
It's statistics. Yeah. Of course it's math. Why wouldn't it be math?
It's statistics behind the thing of just like, oh, hey, you put in a word, it then takes the word and it encodes that into its system, and then it tries to guess essentially what is the preferred response then, according
97% of the time, a person would say this. That's the next word.
And then, but funny enough, though, like, so you can get like then a list of if this is, in this case, writing, you can get essentially a list of then what would be probably the most significant word to use next. And they have this thing called temperature, all right? And so temperature, it kind of like says, all right, of the list of words you have, like, depending on your temperature setting, it might go to the always most probable one, or it might kind of be a little bit more random and bounce around. That's kind of like part of what gives, like, if you ask ChatGPT the same prompt, you can kind of get two different but similar responses.
Oh, that's right. Actually very cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, it's statistics in the end.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of reasons, when the ghost in the machine that's talking, quote unquote, the heaviest of eye rolls and quotes with my fingers right now, but when a person is talking to their AI, like, and it says, oh, I'm sorry, I meant to do this, I'll improve my results in the future, it is also subtly forming in the mind of that person a personality and an avatar of intelligence to this, when it is just not that at all.
Hold on, guys. Are you telling me you're not polite to Siri and Alexa?
Well, I'm not an asshole with an iPhone. So
I am a Midwesterner, so I am just polite by default. Ugh. The oops and the I'm sorries are just
Midwesterner.
Are we about to have a conversation about where is the Midwest?
I mean, we're not going to go that far. It's just more like, I mean, meth capital of the world, sure.
Oh, sure. I mean, Jefferson County is just below us here in the fine city of St. Louis.
You.
Which, by the way, we are also the pedestrian death capital of the country when it comes to, like, number of pedestrians killed by population, right?
Congratulations.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. The sheer number, when you were up here, the sheer number of just wonderfully morbid statistics you could quote about where you live is hilarious.
I'm proud of my home. What is there to say?
Look. My wife is from the Midwest, and I can tell you that you guys are nice in public, but once you get inside your own home and you are comfortable, you know, with each other, the rudeness and the meanness and the swear words just come right out.
You could say that about any like kind of couple or thing, though. It's just like, what are we like pretending to be perfect all the time? We don't live in Utah, all right?
Wow. If we ever do get listeners from Utah, they're just gonna slam us.
Are you kidding me? Like City, that would kill.
I will slam them out of my state like Governor Boggs did with the 1832 decree that said Mormons are enemies of the state and are to be escorted out of my city's the state's borders or killed on sight.
The quiet part out
the extermination loud. Order. Boys, I come from a state that kept that on the books until 1976.
What a random piece of trivia to know.
Again, this is so much of what was said when he was here, and I loved it. It was amazing.
At the same time, before the internet, people like me just had to remember every bit of trivia we'd heard from a Reader's Digest or an encyclopedia. And now it's useful in real time doing improv and I guess on podcasts.
Well, hold on, guys. All right. So then can I tell you all the first conversation John ever had with my parents when he was up here visiting for my baby shower?
Yes, I'm ready. And,
okay, then. So John, I pick up John from the airport. We're doing some stuff. I then take him over to store where we're going to meet my parents because they're going to get some gifts for my baby shower. Thank you all again very much for everything. Cards in the mail, they got sent in today. In any case, so he walks up and I like go, hey, mom, dad, this is my friend John. John and I like met in grad school, blah, blah. And my dad goes, oh, yeah. And then it's like, for some reason, World War II got brought up, and I knew
that you were going to say World War II as soon as. Oh my god! All right, please. And sorry.
My dad goes like, "Oh yeah, no, like, because yeah, there's like we had this friend of ours who just he was in like he went to Italy and he then told us a story about how he had to jump over some group and he caught a guy and so he had to use his SMG and it just." The bullets tore him right in half. And I'm just like, Jiminy Christmas, you just met this man 30 seconds ago. And it's like, yeah, let's
and I immediately respond with
viscera.
Yeah, it's crazy to read, like, you know, letters from soldiers talking about how they were talking to somebody in a foxhole next to them. And then a mortar falls. They go back to continue the conversation and the guy's just goo.
Yep.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right?
Hooray!
Just like, oh, well, gosh.
I guess I won't have Jell-O for dessert.
We got along pretty well.
Yeah, right? No, and then, but honestly, like, dark conversations is just like, I swear that's like an Idaho thing. Idaho has like this history of like, the stories really are just sad and depressing, and people just go, oh, the great out west or whatever. Oh, that's the Wild West. And it's the Wild West is dark.
I would just imagine Idaho to be sad and depressing anyway.
I mean, it's great for vacationing, in my opinion. I love it as vacation, but they have gone totes crazy to the max out there. It's
I have to think the suicide rate in the Wild West was pretty insane.
Right? Oh, yeah, no. I mean, what's the best thing to describe? Okay, so then I get these, cards for Christmas from my grandparents in the mail every Christmas, blah, blah, blah. They normally have the saddest stories you can, like, really imagine just in there. So, for instance, one time we get one from from my grandmother, and it's going on about like, oh yeah, no, like this one time in the hospital when your great grandmother was on her deathbed, and your grandfather and I were kind of like going through a purse to look for like some card or something. We were kind of whispering, and she said, "It's rude to whisper." Oh, how we laughed and laughed. Merry Christmas.
Good gravy.
Like, wait, what? And then we just got another one of apparently in an old house that my great-grandparents built, there's, like, this shed that they had, like, a bunch of canned, like, fruits and vegetables in that was, like, built outside the house, and the stairway to get into the cellar was, like, really perilous. And they said, and then they sold the house, and they forgot to, to get the canned goods. Happy Easter! I'm just like, what are these stories that I'm getting?
Okay. My grandma had very depressing stories. Not so much stories, just as like almost, have you heard the phrase a thought terminating cliche?
No.
Basically, when you say something that ends a conversation by being just a, well, that's just the way things are type of thing.
Okay. Sure, sure.
Okay.
She would sometimes have these things that I don't think were meant to be thought terminating cliches, but were relentlessly depressing enough that I think everyone around her just went, and talked to someone else at our public gathering. And, you know, one of those was, she would regularly say, ask Grandma, you know, hey, you've been reading anything lately? Or, you know, what's going on with you? What's new?
Just and she would say, choice.
Oh, I just checked the obituary to see if I'm in it.
Hold it.
Oh.
That's the only time I see my friends these days. And you're just like, oh no, that's the future that awaits all of us.
Ooh.
If we're lucky. Oh no. And then just ate some pumpkin pie and went on with life.
Did you guys ever watch on Netflix The Ballad of Buster Scruggs?
No, yes. But I keep seeing clips of it on
those are honestly the stories that I would say describe pretty well.
Yeah.
Like Western stories. Yeah. Like,
gotcha.
If we don't get into like the John Wayne bull crap things, like
that's at least like, 60% of those stories end in the deaths of most of the characters.
Yeah. No, it's just like,
okay. Spoiler alert.
I suppose so.
Have fun.
What was that thing you were talking about? A thought ending cliche?
Yep. Thought-terminating cliche.
That's like, they'll get you.
Yeah. Any number of things. Like,
you don't say.
Agree to disagree.
Yep.
I forget what it's called. It's not a thought-terminating cliche, but, you know, it's just like, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles, or it's water under the bridge. I forget the term for it.
An idiom?
Yes, I think it's an idiom, but there's a word that when you combine idioms, so it's like, that's the way the water is under the bridge.
A malapropism!
That's the one, yes, I love that shit, that's so much fun.
Yes, I was actually in a...
That in your, like, memory recall...
Let me Slumdog Millionaire this for you. Yes, I was in a production of The Rivals, a late 1700s, early 1800s play that takes place during the Restoration period in the theater there, where everything's meant to be upbeat by the end, and there could be no, like, Shakespearean tragedy. Okay. And as a result, they make these characters that are just so over the top that it's almost like Commedia dell'arte all over again. So, like, the main character's name is Captain Jack Absolute, and he has perfect morals and believes that one day good old England will be in charge of things again. And the Irish guy is just a relentless drunk. Like, it's just, let's do every caricature to 10. But one unique character was Madame Malaprop.
Oh,
who was a very wealthy woman who insisted she was well-educated, but would always mix her idioms. So that is where that comes from.
Oh, okay.
Which,
cool. That was the villain in the Back to the Future series did that.
Richard Brinsley Sheridan, 1775 play, The Rivals.
I think,
That, do you know what that reminds me of?
It's the pineapple of politeness.
Shoot, no, the bartender in the Boondock Saints.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Don't you make like a leaf and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. The one in Back to the Future, I forget his name. Right. But yeah, it's not necessarily a malapropism. He just doesn't finish the idiom correctly. Because he'll just say, make like a tree and get out of here.
Yes.
Yes.
The guy playing Biff.
Biff, yeah.
Oh, hold on. That's, gosh. Didn't he also play the guy in Happy Gilmore?
Maybe?
IMDb search.
Yes.
Thomas F. Wilson.
Search.
Oh. Calculate. I had to make a footnote at 19 minutes and 39 seconds to delete all the typing so that when I'm going back to edit this, I can just go boop, 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 and just get rid of the typing. So thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was wrong. I don't care about the different blue person.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Were we going to talk about some of the pre-planned...
The pre-planned stuff. I mean, well, we can go, like, super heavy for the first episode, or we can stay light and airy.
I was thinking light and airy.
Okay, light and airy.
Speaking, okay. Just because it's like, you know, let's give the audience of... Yeah, time to get to know us.
Okay.
Before they get sad.
All right. Well,
get sad.
There's a thought terminating cliche for you.
Well, V, we haven't really heard much from you so far, so why don't you tell us a little about yourself? Why don't you
tell us some sad family stories.
Yeah, God, really.
I'd love that.
Jesus. Stories about myself. I was actually thinking about John's prompt that he had because I've been really thinking about
some seasonal candies.
But I didn't have a
candy. Oh, I was actually thinking about
much growing up, but in my office where I work, my office goes absolutely like monkey bananas for pumpkin spice latte. Like they freak out. Like it's very much like this crazy craze, and I don't know why it just hasn't been made into like a thing that people just have year round. Like, why not? Why are they love it so much, but why don't they just do it year round?
I feel like you can get a pumpkin spice coffee or like tea year round, but you're right in that they put that shit in everything. Like, and they advertise it as if it's the thing that signals spooky season. Like
6 years ago?
I have a theory. All right. It kind of reminds me of, like, why Publix doesn't do, like, their own sub shop. Because, you know, they want people to come into Publix, right? So if we're talking about Starbucks specifically, if they do pumpkin spice latte, year-round, then it's just going to be kind of like a flavor. But because they create... you know, a short supply of it's only going to be available these months, then people are only going to, they're going to flock to that store scarcity. At that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It also kind of makes it like, it's a special thing. Oh, look, pumpkin spice is back. It's pumpkin spice season.
Exactly.
You get your cinnamon, clove, and nutmeg ready.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to spooky season. Would you like pumpkin spice on that cupcake?
Oh, we're in spooky season already. Did you not know this?
It's July.
Doesn't matter. The goth girls on my Instagram, as soon as July 5th came across, boom, we're in spooky season.
Goth girls on your Instagram.
Well, I mean, my wife, my friend, my other friend.
My wife.
Exactly. You know, those are the goth girls I'm talking about. Just not like random Instagram models, you know, just people I'm actually affiliated with.
I understand.
Yeah. No, I wanted to shame him. I wanted him to be shamed.
Are we shaming social media use or just Instagram specifically?
Heck yeah. I think it was shaming me for just, you know,
I was
generalizing.
Perv, yes.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So, you're welcome. Is shaming Roy just a part of this now?
I think it's an integral part.
Hold on, guys. Foundation. We should really talk about shaming Roy. So.
Yeah.
I actually did have... I feel like pumpkin spice is an excellent example of what I was talking about. The thing that I just... And Reese's knows, they know what they're doing, and they know because...
Killing us?
They've, well, besides that, and probably slavery is how they get their chocolate.
Yes.
There's problem that they know now, and it's that the Easter egg-shaped Reese's is the is the better Reese's. It is the proper chocolate to peanut butter ratio, and everybody wants that shit year round. So they've put it into the Super Bowl, or I'm sorry if this has to be the big game, just in case, TM.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah,
a note here at 25 minutes.
Oh, yes, okay.
we should also put a note for that I said Reese's kills people.
Oh. Well,
no, we can leave that one.
No. We like that.
Yep. Oh dear.
No, but I think like they're aware that people prefer that, and it's only certain times of year because.
Well.
I do not crave a Reese's cup when I'm at the gas station, but if I see it's the Easter ones, I'm like, oh, well, I can only get that for a short period of time.
Well, have you tried
personally just cup? Against all the trash? I'm personally just against that fucking oily paper thing that you have to from. Like, I hate those things. I hate. All of them, it's just more trash for this stupid
thing. You don't have it with the Easter one.
Yeah,
you're right. You have another superior thing.
No, that's honestly why when I was eating them, yeah, I absolutely would get the pumpkins and the Easter eggs.
Well, also the Christmas trees as well.
Yes, which are also just basically the same ratio.
Yeah, it's just like a different shape.
They know the version that's crack for us, and they're keeping it from us.
They know the formulas, guys. They have the Epstein files.
The vague they. Oh, God.
I have to make another footnote.
Another footnote? Yeah.
But
I'm going to have to re-listen to this whole hour.
Are there any other like candies or things you can think of where the company themselves seems to be fully aware and they're just... for example, at a beer company that cannot be named that I may or may not work for, there's a... peach version of a light beer that people are obsessed with, and we just are intentionally making way less of it than we could so that it is always an in-demand brand.
Actually,
it seems like leaving money on the table, but it seems to be something that's also an industry standard, like throughout different food and beverage things.
Well, I can comment on this directly. In the world of whiskey, which I think I am the only person here that consumes alcohol, in the world of whiskey, specifically stuff like Buffalo Trace, Eagle Rare, Blanton's, etc., those bottles, they only make, like, I don't know, let's just say 3,000 bottles a year or 3,000 bottles a month, whatever. And the liquor stores only get one case or two bottles per month, per quarter, per year.
Right.
So because they are essentially artificially controlling demand, they can jack up the prices and everyone goes absolutely batshit crazy for these whiskeys. Granted, they're delicious, but also because they, you know, control how much they make, they can jack up the prices and then people will sell them for an asinine amount of money on the secondary market.
Now, is this an example of something that would be approaching like a cartel where all of the different whiskey makers engage in the same business practices, therefore they are setting the market?
The phrase word of this next section is...
monopsony?
Yeah, right? I was going to be going with like...
the supply?
Yeah, no, it's going to be like late-stage capitalism. Late-stage capitalism.
We're just going to have to censor everything from here until the next subject.
Perfect. Oh, my goodness. I hope so. I hope, really, that it just makes you have to do an ungodly amount of work.
Wait, hold on, guys. I did start thinking about that this just starts sounding like an ad for all these fucking companies and whatnot. So I would actually like to round it back since this is episode one. And I didn't actually have, like, I do have mine. I know what mine is. I'm not going to mention it because they need to sponsor me first. But until they sponsor us, we'll put this topic on hold.
Okay.
I wanted to actually share one of the first conversations me and Roy had Because like he noted at the top of the episode, he is the kind of his idea putting things together. I think Roy is the center linchpin of this group.
Oh yeah.
And so my connection with Roy was through a D&D group, because he had asked me about it, and that's how I kind of all met all you guys. So I figured this would be a fun story to share. Making Roy embarrassed.
Oh god.
We do a session, you know, like a one shot session. Everything's fine. He meets up with some of his friends who are now part of like my friend group as well. Everything's going fine. And at the very end, Roy pulls me aside and he goes, "Hey, so like, do we like Venmo you or something?"
That's true.
And yeah. I was like, "What? Am I getting paid to be your friend? Is that what you anticipated here? This is all right. No.
Hell yeah, fraternity.
Did it feel like the money's on the nightstand type of situation?
Yeah, I was literally like, what? Did I just, yeah, that, you hit it on. So yeah, that's where we're coming from.
If I can take it back to the candy topic without naming names, all right? Because I think that a lot of different candies do this, all right? So you have the original candy flavor, right? We'll just call it chocolate, right? Chocolate bar, chocolate with whatever, right?
Yeah,
then they make all these different types of variations, salted caramel, cookies and cream, blah, 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 blah. But I think they know that those options suck so that we buy more of the original stuff.
Ooh.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Wait. So
I mean, you clearly never had the Tony Chocolaroni candy bars.
Those things are delicious. Those are fantastic.
All the ones that they make are bangers.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a preference, Roy? It sounds like you have a preference, perhaps, of the type of chocolate you like.
Well, yeah, but I thought we were naming names. I mean, I think as long as we don't say, like, I endorsed it, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Like, one of my go-tos is Snickers bar, like the original Snickers bar. But they just kind of like, just like Oreos, they create all these different types of stuff. Like, just give me
the
original
one, the peanut butter one, the
caramel
Snickers.
I don't do that much with the candies, because it is fun to get like peanuts in your candy sometimes and stuff. I'm not allergic to that. I don't do that with soda, and they have gone quite.
You like peanuts in your soda?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
That sounds rather southern, actually.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola peanut farmer. Sponsored by Jimmy Carter.
God! In memory of Jimmy Carter, we put a bunch of peanuts in a bottle just for you to try. You'd think that it'd be able to reach it to you, but don't worry, Coca-Cola will dissolve all parts of the peanuts before you can drink it. Because remember, it would do that with a mouse body too. As they proved in a court case.
Yeah, that's gross.
Oh, John, wait. I have a story for John then?
Okay. I wanted to ask on that. You mentioned soft drinks. Are you talking about a certain high point where there's a dew point that is reached, and you can find a beverage upon the blades of grass as if that mountainous region had a nectar of the gods?
It's so good. I really just want to say yes now, but
bromated vegetable oil, that nectar.
I don't want people to send me shit that has to do with that, because I don't actually drink that one. But
honestly, one of the worst sodas ever made.
But every bit of me wants to say yes and to it, and I'm like, I can't.
We're in a code red situation then.
God.
Hey man, I'll always remember Gamer Fuel.
Absolutely.
And the terrible things it did to me.
Yep.
Well, guys, it's been a teenager. Baja blast, but
God damn it.
Okay. Moving along.
No, it's hold on, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, subject terminating thought.
Yeah, really. Okay. All right, that's the next subject
for this episode. We should call that subject terminating.
Subject thought. Terminated?
Oh, God. Subject terminating thought. That's the title of the episode.
I like it.
That's all right, fun. So going back to John's original question of like seasonal candies, I don't know if this is technically a seasonal candy, but it's those strawberry candies that come in like the strawberry looking wrapper.
That yeah,
I can favorite. Only find yeah. them in bags of like multiple different types of candy. Like there's no just strawberry,
yeah.
like a bag of strawberry candy. You have to buy all the other nonsense to get the gold in the middle, you know?
Sort of like how a Pub Mix throws you all of the things you despise and you have to get to the rye chips.
Yes, exactly. Yes, those rye chips are just top notch.
Do you know what candy does do that though, which I was really appreciative? Mm-hmm. Runts.
Mm. Runts.
Do you guys know what that is? It's like little sugary looking freaking candies of different
flavors. I think I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I love the banana ones. Those are good.
Oh so gosh, wait, were those like the things that they used to be like the turnstile candy like
yes.
dispensers and like restaurants?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Trash candy that just looks like tiny little glasses. Mm-hmm.
Trash candy.
Oh, the runts, the ones that look like the quote unquote fruits that they are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, not necessarily my biggest. I'm not the biggest fan of those.
I just appreciate that they knew the bananas were the one to go, and then they did sell them in just a pack of those.
Oh, they did? Oh, okay. That's wild.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, they can do it. And it'll work. Yeah. They do it with the fruit gummies too. Not a specific brand, but you get mixed fruit gummies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Tropical fruit gummy shit, and then you get strawberry because they know strawberry is its own thing.
Doesn't Starburst do just like all pinks? I'm pretty sure. I would have to look them up, but you know, while we're on the subject,
I think you're right.
Pinks are the superior.
Gosh, this conversation is making my teeth hurt.
this podcast not endorsed by the American Dental Association. do you guys have favorite jelly bean flavors?
Vomit or booger or whatever. I'm not
talking about the stuff from Turf Island. I'm talking about the good golly gosh. Well, I sure do love those jelly beans and my wife's skill.
Oh yeah.
I'm on camera. Oh goodness.
No. Don't they have those in the regular ones too? Not Turf Island. The regular stuff.
I'm not sure if now everybody's doing like ridiculous flavors, but I'm talking like your old fashioned, like you open up a bag of jelly beans. There's like the pinkish flavor, the deep red flavor, the orange, like that all correspond to a roughly fruit flavor you're familiar with.
Yeah, I got
it. Does root beer count? That. I like the root beer.
Yeah, and my mental faculties. I don't prefer jelly beans.
You do not like jelly beans. Okay, that's like the one candy that I like that isn't like a chocolate thing or a cream kind of thing. I just tend to like
Bro, have you not had mochi?
Then have I not had what?
Mochi?
Mochi's pretty solid.
I have not had mochi before. No.
Oh, what?
It's all right. It's all right, John, but you're not missing out on too much. I've had
Wait, mochi, hold on. Is that the
rice flour?
Yes, it's sweetened rice flour with
sometimes a kind of gummy interior.
I mean, that almost consider that to be like a baked good with something inside, cuz like I love baklava.
Baklava. This is how you can rob a liquor store.
Yeah, guys, don't ask me where I was before the podcast. I do own a bottle of Klava, if that's not incriminating evidence.
Why?
Because
the Midwest.
It gets really cold sometimes, and your face also gets cold.
I mean, that's fair.
It also helps you to fight the bourgeoisie. Anyways,
mine is not Luigi colored.
Yeah. When you try and take down the proletariat.
trying to take down the proletariat? Yeah, I'm just punching down real hard. I'm Batman, bitch.
Yeah.
Are you Batman?
I mean, I would never reveal that, but I think my poverty and inability to pay my student loans rules me out.
But I mean, like, we've never seen you and Batman in the same room before.
Easy explanation for that.
Yeah.
Batman's a fictional character.
I mean, hold on a second.
Hold on, guys.
Oh, wait, are we making a reveal on the podcast?
I mean, I've never seen Batman, but that doesn't mean he doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
Are we starting to, like, into the teapot theory of Batman now?
What is the teapot theory?
Hold on, guys. What is the teapot theory?
Indeed, yes. Yes, indeed.
So, you're going to make me... Okay.
I'm glad that you hate that we put this subject on you.
Yep, it's a theological mind problem about someone's belief in the existence of something else being corresponded to, like, the idea of, like, someone claiming there's a teapot orbiting out in space. And so that, like, the more advanced the civilization gets, it might be able to determine the teapot, or the teapot just doesn't exist. That's honestly, that's a shitty explanation I've just given, but it's...
What philosopher was tripping acid when he came up with this bullshit?
No. I feel like this isn't too different from what Neil deGrasse Tyson would say about, like, the God between the gaps, you know. People have to constantly, if they believe in some amount of science or the scientific method and explanations for how we're here, you have to slowly peel back more and more of what isn't God's creation and was just natural processes.
Right.
It's a Bertrand Russell analogy. It's called Russell's teapot. I'm literally on the Wikipedia page now for it.
Naturally, of course. Now, I think I was just talking more along lines of, like, why a teapot? You know,
he's British.
I don't know. No,
that's the British mind is at all times.
That's fair. Okay, I'll give
inoculated
that.
From anything other than tea and colonization.
1972.
Fair. What about beans? Have you guys ever had beans on toast?
My family comes from a English, Welsh, Irish, British background.
So is that a yes? So,
yes, just once and was like, I'm a fan of putting all sorts of things on bread and making it into a sandwich. Uh-huh. I can testify to that from my every Thanksgiving where I make a turkey sandwich basically at the table with my little Hawaiian roll and gravy and other things. Mm. But that is one that escapes me. And I guess it's just like, well, if you're poor and that's what you've got, that's a meal. And there is, like, when you combine incomplete proteins, it makes for a much more long-lasting meal that actually fills you up in ways that are beneficial. So, like, rice and beans does not necessarily have any animal protein, but fulfills all of your essentially amino acids and all the rest. And I think beans and toast is one of these things that does the same.
Hold on, guys. We're giving out nutritional advice.
Yeah, it's like...
So...
which is 50% says, hell no, never on my life.
We went to Ireland for our honeymoon. And when we flew out of Dublin to Iceland for the second leg, we got there, like, absurdly early. And I was like, well, there's nothing to do now except eat. So I had a full English breakfast, and I had beans on toast. And it, you know what? Obviously, yeah, not my go-to. Like, I'm not going to wake up in the morning and be like, ooh, I could go for some beans on toast. But not bad. The only thing that really sucked, and we're going to lose a lot of international viewers for this, listeners for this, blood pudding. Just blood pudding. could not. I couldn't. I had a bite, and I was just like, no.
I have been over England in that region a bunch of times. I don't really care for the beans on toast because I don't really like the texture of beans in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'll do the blood pudding. The other side of it's fine. So we'll put that line right here now.
Yeah, I'll eat blood pudding. It's not my favorite.
But I have never heard of blood pudding. This is news to me.
Oh, it's like a puck that's blood. It's like blood, like pork blood based, and they mix like oats into it. And then it turns out to be this, like, disc You ever look at it like an espresso puck where they dump it out? That's what it looks like.
Okay,
that's exactly what it looks like. Pretty good analogy. An espresso
disc. I mean, I've had like summer sausage, blood sausage, things like this, but I've not.
Summer sausage and blood sausage are not very comparable.
I will blood sausage you. Before.
Dayton got real offended right there.
How dare you, sir?
That's fair.
Your Midwest is coming out
now. My favorite British dessert is probably bread pudding, which I think is delightful. I think puddings are actually underrated, just generally. Mm-hmm, I made a pudding pie recently for a game night, and everybody loved it.
Yeah.
Just a little heavy whipping topping, chocolate pudding, a graham cracker pie crust. It was delightful.
Hold on, guys. Did you see the controversy of the Great British Bake Off?
No.
About s'mores?
S'mores? No, I haven't heard about s'mores.
Like, can't you not?
I saw the tacos they created, and I thought that was an international embarrassment.
It continues. Oh my gosh, dude. The s'mores were so... They were atrociously bad. It was just like... They didn't use graham crackers. Ugh. They didn't, like... toast the marshmallows, or if they did, it was like barely at all. It was like a travesty, and they're like, no, this is how a s'more should be. And it's just like Paul Hollywood, that friggin' jank off, was just like a
every one of our UK listeners is thinking in their heads, somehow I blame Labour for this.
Yes,
here Starmer's crying.
That's right. Now we're losing all of our European, like, now we're losing Great Britain. Just kidding.
They're the most proper. Oh, that sucks.
Okay, I guess I'm going to look this up.
Oh, good. You're looking it up. Yes.
It looks British. I can tell.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so let's get a little weird for a second. So you know those snack packs, like the pudding cups with the foil on top, and you take the foil off? What do you do with the foil, the top?
I lick the pudding off. And then
good. I thought I was the only weirdo. I'm glad that John and I are on the same side.
Yeah.
Do you take it off all the way, or do you leave it on the edge? Because what I peel it off most of the way, and then I lick it off, and then I fold it. And
you
I
like
just kind of
saving
leave it
the pudding for later.
No. You lick it off first.
So then it doesn't separate in the trash, so you don't create more trash. So you don't kill animals, Roy.
But you can recycle one of them, and you can't recycle the other part. So you take the foil off and you throw that away.
It's all trash.
I think it depends on what state you're in.
Two things. I don't want to throw away two things. I want to throw away one thing. So I peel it most of the way, like let's say 90% of the way.
Mother Earth does not care for your laziness.
Hold on, guys. I was led to believe, as a kid growing up in the 90s, who watched propaganda films such as the one where a bunch of consumer goods and other garbage that was discarded, some of it was recycled, and then the only one who didn't was the styrofoam takeout container, who had the most compelling voice actor, I guess, as a kid. So when they died and stayed behind to save the group, I was like, man, styrofoam is a what a hero. And I completely lost the proper meaning of what that was. But I know their proper meaning was that you could recycle plastics, and we recycle, reduce, and reuse. And it turns out that the promise of the plastic recycling is just completely untrue, and it was never it has caused so many problems in the modern world. And I guess this is just a general way of me getting to what are things you were taught, or like videos that you got from school? I went to a public school, so that's where this comes from me, that were completely off base, even if they had well-intentioned origin.
I don't remember that propaganda video. That sounds very interesting. I
it was
don't
like
remember...
the scene from Toy Story 3, except they actually killed him. It was wild.
I don't remember any videos being
80s cartoons were insane.
Oh, absolutely. I don't remember any videos being absolute bonkers, but I do remember sitting in, I think it was ninth grade history class, and the teacher blatantly said that everything from the Old Testament is history. So
I
in the history class. And so, like, I went through multiple years of high school and college completely thinking that, oh, this is all, you know, tried and true. And it wasn't until, like, I took, like, an ancient history class that, you know, all that bullshit just kind of got dissolved.
Don't you love that whenever you're in a public school, too, I'm guessing?
Yes. Oh, Florida public school, my friend.
Florida public school.
Not too much different from my Missouri public schools, I'm going to imagine.
Yeah.
You grow up, and I'm kind of vibing with you here, Roy, on that because I also, like, I had this big respect towards the teachers, especially the ones that seem to know a lot of facts.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, like, I got to college and stuff, and I'm like, I was a fucking wacko.
Yeah.
Like, I had a teacher who taught, like, math, eighth grade, like, pre-algebra, whatever. Uh-huh. And it was very interesting, and he brought up, like, the Kennedy assassination and all these different connections. Mm-hmm. And I look back, and I'm like, that dude was a freaking conspiracy theory grassy knoll motherfucker who he was using that as his example of how to freaking do triangles. Oh my God, what a crazy man.
I had, like, a math teacher in middle school who, well, I'm putting quotes around math teacher because we didn't learn any math. We learned how to chart hurricanes, which was, I guess, kind of topical. And the only other thing that I remember about this guy is that he was, quote, friends with Shania Twain, because he said it just about every chance that he possibly could. And he would just, you know, that guy that, like, sneaks his, like, one thing that he's cool at into every single conversation. That's what he would do. Just, oh, and I'm friends with Shania Twain. And this is how we chart hurricanes. And I don't remember him staying long in, like, teaching after I left. I'm pretty sure the school board was just kind of like, the fuck's this guy doing? It kicked him out.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, the good old days.
Yes. Public school. Yay.
There was a gifted classroom teacher in my middle school that she very solemnly one day, because this is like roughly 2004, there is a question of whether an amendment to make gay marriage illegal will be passed. You know, some other such stuff going on. And this teacher very solemnly told us, like, now look, gay people absolutely exist. They've existed throughout history and societies. We should allow them to have the same rights as anyone else. And I was like, wow, this is something that I don't hear a lot as someone who grows up and goes to church. And, like, the youth pastor I had who did believe that basically got kicked out. And a new really creepy guy who wants to bring all the middle school girls down to his house doesn't seem like a good replacement. This woman is speaking truth. And then she follows that up by saying, now bisexuals, though, they're pretending. They're not real.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know what? This is probably pretty good for Missouri. I'm just going to chalk that up as a win.
Oh, wow. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What a good bait and switch. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also had the two, and if feel free to immediately, like, do the equivalent of raising a hand with a good old yup or whatever. Did you guys have any history teachers at your school who married a girl that they taught in the summer following their senior year? Because not just one, but two different high school history teachers in my school did that. And they weren't even the worst pedophiles at that school.
This is in Missouri?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is not shocking.
I wonder if they have the Epstein files.
Oh, man. Didn't know that was where this is going to lead.
Oh,
nobody had the landlocked state of Missouri. Oh, I was led to believe it was on an island.
Yep.
Oh, good Lord.
Yep. You're welcome.
Thank you. Well
provide
done.
Provide that moment of levity.
Uh-huh. Is it levity?
I mean, no.
I guess you'd laugh or you cry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So well, that thought turned
I don't know where to pivot.
Where's that terminating?
Just that good.
Where's that?
Yeah.
Terminating thought.
Yeah, the terminating thought.
Terminating cliche.
Somebody give us a terminating cliche. Boom.
There's more than one way to kill a cat. Skin a cat. I don't know.
Help.
Okay, did it used to be just a regular thing that you had to skin cats?
I guess.
Like, were cats a popular,
I don't know.
Women's hat or something?
I don't know. I lived in Florida, which is south, but I was not raised in the south. So, John, I would have to defer to you on that.
Now, Missouri was a border state.
Is it wildcats? Is it just short for wildcats?
Hmm.
You skin the hell out of those, right? That's what coaches
yeah,
made out of.
My high school mascot
was the Wildcats, and we sucked in every single conceivable sport. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you know, there's more than one way to skin the Wildcats.
Yeah. The Wildcats was also a comic that, of all people, creator of Watchmen, Alan Moore, wrote on after he said, "I won't do any more superhero comics for Marvel."
I mean, honestly, Alan Moore has been given too much shit about it. He's just a cranky old man. Let him be. Like,
he's doing magic in a castle. It's rad. We still have like a wizard somewhere in the world.
There was someone who recently like did a really in-depth interview with Alan Moore, and it was really good in terms of just like, yeah, there's all this animosity, but it's kind of like, you know.
Oh, he's an intensely intelligent and fascinating man, and I like what he has to write about. Even when I think he's kind of batshit, I think it's an interesting idea that led him to that belief.
The Wikipedia photo that he has is does not do him justice.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize a comic book writer was supposed to look dashing or like get their Instagram profile up.
No, they could have chose literally any other photo than what I'm looking at.
I mean, he looks like
right
Rasputin,
now.
And
yes, he does look like Rasputin.
I don't see the problem. He's building his brand.
I guess, but he's. I don't know.
He lives in a castle and believes that writing long, drawn-out comics like the Jerusalem long-term series he wrote it is doing magic upon the world, because magic is actually just reframing people's ideas and making them believe your own ideas.
Does he actually live in a castle?
Yes. I believe he did buy a castle. Cause...
I mean... All right, well, kudos to him. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but
and yet another terminating thought.
I think that's a good time to cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Am I being rude with that?
Do we have an idea for how to
do
a send off by any chance?
We can't end with that. We can't end with that. Not at all.
Well, we gotta keep going.
There's actually a name for that little melody. It comes from a vaudeville set. I don't remember it anymore.
We can do what the news anchors do.
Hold on, guys. Hold on, guys. I think we're gonna end it here. So, until the next time, we'll come up with more bullshit to talk about. And
absolutely.
Look forward to that. Does anyone have any last final thoughts that they want to talk about? Cool. You fucking love it.